RTI Digital Series podcast today. Happy to be joined by Tennessee head football coach Josh Heupel this afternoon. Coach, how are you?
Doing great, man. Great to be with you.
Absolutely. How's everything going after spring? You know, you got a little bit of a time to maybe focus on recruiting and whatnot before players return.
Yeah, absolutely. Still have a good portion of our kids that are actually still here, whether they're taking class or just want to be here and work out, which is great. Can't wait until beginning of June here where we get everybody back in our football family and able to be around each other and start climbing again here as we work this summer to make the strides that we need to physically to get ready to go compete here this fall. Staff is off and running, recruiting. Man, we had Tennessee Takeover here this past week right when we got done with spring ball. Guys, you know, we reached out to every school here inside of the state. Just, you know, I said it when I got hired here, you know, put actions behind those words. Want to recruit the state the right way. That comes just in communicating and having a dialogue and getting to know the players, but the coaches inside the state too. And looking forward to summer camps opening up here in June.
Hey, let's start. How's that transition been? Your second go around as a head coach. So it's all different from when you started, you know, at UCF to when you get here at Tennessee. How's the transition been when it comes to learning about the team? When you first arrive at a school, you were already, you know, at UCF, but here you're learning about the different players that are in the program. I'm interested to hear how that's been over the last 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, for sure. You get here and, you know, obviously the timing of the hire, but this is true, you know, in every case. You know, there's so much that's going on right away. You're trying to hire staff. You're trying to get started on recruiting. Certainly the timing of when I got hired, you're trying to hit the ground on recruiting, really important. And then, you know, you're trying to get to know your own players. And I think that's maybe the most important thing. Not maybe, it is the most important thing is getting to know the guys inside of your locker room. And, you know, initially you got to go to them, man. And you got to go find them in the locker room. You got to be in their spaces and make sure that they understand that, you know, the things you talked about the first time you get a chance to be in front of them right after the press conference. And, you know, we sat in there and just chopped it up for about an hour. You know, when I got in that meeting, I told them, listen, there's going to be a lot of words here spoken tonight. I know that actions speak louder than words. It's going to take time to earn that trust from them. But told them that, you know, my words are going to become our actions. And that's who we hired as a staff, too. And that's why I think we've come so far in such a short amount of time as we wrapped up spring ball. You're never where you want to be as a coach. You're always trying to push forward and become better. You're never fully satisfied. At the same time, you know, myself just reflecting back, but told our staff too, man, you look back and it hadn't been 90 days at that point. Man, we've come so far in such a short amount of time. If we can keep that momentum up, we're setting ourselves up to do some good things here as we get into the fall.
Talking about spring ball and getting that going, you had pushed that back a week. And I think you had said at the time it was more about letting the defense or whatnot get situated and get comfortable with what they were doing along with the rest of the coaching staff. So in your opinion, talking about the offensive side of it, A, how do you think the offense picked it up during the spring? And then also, is it your philosophy to just – do you take baby steps with it, or you just kind of throw everything at it and see what sticks within these guys and where you have to work on in the future?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, just, you know, when our staff got here, right, offensively, really almost everybody came with me from the previous stop. And so you're able to hit the ground running and start implementing with the players really fast what you're going to do. You know what I mean? Formations, plays, schemes, technique, all of that. It's seamless in a lot of ways. As you hire your defense staff, guys are coming in from different spots. Now, I think the unique thing is they all have a track record of knowing each other, but you got to decide on the verbiage, the technique, the installations. So it takes just a little bit more time, which is why we push spring ball back for those guys. I think you're going to push guys to understand what you're going to do. Understand that you can't, you know, be in fifth gear the entire time in your install, where they don't have an opportunity to be successful, but you go through a series of installs before you get to spring ball. You reset and go back to the beginning blocks with practice one in your install. You keep pushing through training or through spring ball for your kids to grasp as much as they possibly can while still giving them the ability to go out and play football too, because you're trying to find out who and what they are as a player. You can't paralyze them because of everything that's going on the mental side of it. And I'm really proud of what our guys did, both sides of the football, for 15 practices. And we get a chance now. You're never where you want to be. There's still a lot more for us to implement. Some of that will get done here in the summer. Some of it will be during the course of training camp as you get into more situational football too.
When you look at taking over a program and coming in, there's going to be players, and this is just life, where they've been through multiple different position coaches or multiple head coaches, and turnover rate is what it is. How do you approach that with players that maybe aren't fully bought in yet, and they're still having to build that trust up? What does it mean to you to go those extra miles to try to earn that trust? Because it is a two-way street where they've got to trust you, you have to trust them. How do you build that relationship?
The relationships take time. They take energy, man. That's true with your blood family, right? It's true with any friend that you have. It's true inside of this football family and this football program too. And it's true with our coaches. It's true with our players. And all you can do is chop away at it every single day. You know, as I got introduced to our football team, there's, you know, a couple handful of guys that I had recruited that I had a relationship with that probably have a different trust level initially with me than the rest of the guys. Every interaction, I think it's important that you understand this as a head coach, but as certainly as a head coach, but as a position coach too, every interaction you have has a ripple effect right throughout your entire program. Understanding that every interaction matters. It can be with your players. It can be with your support staff here inside of your building. Just being mindful of that. And initially, like I said, man, we went to them. I was in the weight room with those guys when we first got here as much as I possibly could, dabbing them up, changing the weight, enjoying their successes, something that they did positive down there. I'm, you know, in the locker room with them beforehand, just getting to know them and have experiences and have conversations. And the more that they can see who you are and what you're about outside of the game changes what you're able to do with them inside of the game. Some of the things that you guys have seen on social media, us just, you know, having fun, man, and play dodgeball, you know, is after they work their butt off, you know, for an hour in the morning going through agility stations. But then you get an opportunity where there's a window of time where you get a chance to just interact and have fun with each other. That's going to a baseball game and supporting, you know, other sports here in our athletic department, but an opportunity for us to congregate, have fun, and just be around each other outside of the game before we go and compete the following morning in a Saturday scrimmage in spring ball. All of those experiences, man, shape and change, you know, who you are and the mindset of how you walk into the building every day. And in a lot of ways, I think it allows you as a coaching staff to really be upfront and honest in your communication with them. And they receive that information differently on the field if they know that you have a relationship and care about them outside of the game too.
When you took the Tennessee job, I want to take a step back before spring here. What was appealing to you besides the glitz and glamour of getting in the SEC? You understood that you were walking into a situation where, like you call it, there's a little speed bump right here for Tennessee with things surrounding the program and the turnover rate before. And, you know, you look at it from an outside perspective. So I'm interested in what appealed to you, again, besides the Southeastern Conference, to take the job at Tennessee?
This wasn't about the conference. This is about Tennessee. This is a story program, one that I grew up watching, seeing great success, knowing the passion and energy that surrounds this program here in Knoxville, throughout the state and throughout the entire Vol Nation, man. Yeah, this is a program that's top 10 in the history of the game and wins top 10 in draft picks. Anything and everything that you can and would want to do in college football has been done here. I think my experiences as a player, when I went to Oklahoma as a player, they hadn't been to a bowl game for, I think, five consecutive seasons. The energy that surrounded that program was completely different than when it was when I finished there 2 years later or than what it is now. to me, this is a really unique opportunity and time to be a part, right, and be the caretaker of one of the premier programs in college football, man. This brand is special. And, you know, for me to walk into that stadium, into Neyland Stadium, see 103,000, you know, seats in there essentially, right, it's a special place, man. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of building it and doing it the right way and making sure that our foundation is rock solid so that we can build – a house on top of it. It's going to be successful, not for a short amount of time, but for a duration. And that's why I wanted to be here.
So I want to flip over to the players now and kind of talk about what's on the field. Have you ever been in a situation as a coach or an offensive coordinator where you technically have five scholarship quarterbacks now with the transfer portal helping you guys out a little bit with that, potentially a suspended player returning. So you'd have five scholarship quarterbacks going into summer workouts, fall camp. What is that like as a head coach trying to decipher, okay, how are we going to figure out who our starting quarterback is? And what's that going to be like when it comes to fall camp? Because I'm sure as a head coach or an offensive coordinator, you'd have to make your mind up either, you know, by week two, week three of fall camp of the direction you're going to go at that position, right?
Yeah. Everywhere I've been, there's been competition through the spring when you didn't have an incumbent, right? Through the spring, but through the summer. Guys have an opportunity to grow and change and be completely different players by the time they get back to training camp. Everything inside of this program is going to be based on competition as far as earning playing time, man. Nothing's going to be given to you. You got to go out and earn it. Guys are going to be given the opportunity to earn it, but you earn it in who you are and what you do every single day. And I think that's something that is true at the quarterback position. That position has to earn your trust as a position coach, as a coordinator, as a head coach. They got to earn that trust, man. You're putting the ball in their hands. They are your lead decision maker and have as much or more impact as anybody inside of your program as far as what you can be. They got to earn that trust every single day. But I think our players have learned that that sense of competition, that sense of accountability is true in everything that we do inside of this program, everywhere, every day. And the standard's not going to change. And that's a part of why we've grown so much in a short amount of time.
Just a quick follow-up to that, is there a, and I don't want to put date because we're 2.5-3 months away, but is there something in the past that you've looked at and it's like, okay, you know, maybe we have to play two quarterbacks, you know, to start the season, or three quarterbacks just to kind of figure out where we're going? Or is it your preference, okay, we need to narrow this thing down a little bit before we get to that final week of prep before the season opener?
Now, you're certainly going to narrow it down, like I said, but you base those decisions on where guys are at as far as inside of that room, their accountability, their trust level. And that's during the course of summer. That's, you know, as you get on the field in training camp, certainly you want to have a guy that feels like he's going to walk out there and be the guy, you know, leading into that game week for sure. You know, I've played multiple guys, and I say that meaning in specific roles, you know, as we've gone through it. And I think this too, and everybody's going to get caught up in the quarterback competition. I get that can appreciate that. At the same time, I think the strength of a position can never be one guy. It's got to be more than that. That's true at offensive line. Obviously, that's easy because you got five guys or D-line, four guys playing at a time. It's got to be true at the quarterback position too. So we got to continue to develop those guys inside of that room.
When you look at the transfer portal and how it's changed over the years and how different players are getting in, and they go in one week and they're committed the next week. When you sit down and have a conversation, is that, you know, for a defensive player, let's say, is that a conversation you're having with defensive coordinator Tim Banks and Brian Jean Mary or Willie Martinez or Garner and saying, okay, you guys figure out what you need when it comes to defense and we'll take a look at it with the options that you present. How is that process for you?
Yeah, I think you got to hire great people that you trust, that fit your idea of what they're going to be doing inside of your program. But you talk about a defensive staff, man, that's really special. This group's really good, man. They're phenomenal people. They're great recruiters and great technicians, man, and teachers of the game, man. Coach Banks, what he's been able to do in his career. Rodney Garner, you look at what he has done in development of defensive linemen throughout his entire career. Willie Martinez, you know, just had three guys drafted from the previous school out of the secondary. Brian G. Mary, you know what I mean, is a guy that's a former coordinator, right? That's coached some of the biggest and best. So absolutely, right? They got a great gauge of what's going on the defensive side of the ball, what their personnel is and what needs are. But those are things that you're constantly communicating and talking through every single day inside of your program, from practice to practice, scrimmage to scrimmage. Once you get out of it, you know, who's available in the transfer portal. Those are things you talk about every day.
When you, so I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm sure you do. The NIL name, image, and likeness was signed by the governor, will go in effect July 1st. And there's a lot of conversation about that around the country. How much as a coaching staff are you guys engaged with that conversation and trying to learn? Or is that something where you go to the people in your building that maybe know more about it and you learn as much as you can, especially when it comes to recruiting and how guys, you know, look at different universities as well?
You always rely on support support systems to help bring you information and help educate you. That's always going to be true. But I think our coaches have to be and are involved in the dialogue, right? It's you know, the new legislation bill that just passed or signed into law. You know, those are all things that are beneficial. We're going to support our student athletes, anything and everything that can be beneficial to them. That's a part of, you know, a coach's DNA, man, because it is about the student athlete experience. And there's so much for us to sell here on Rocky Top, man. This is a special program. The energy that surrounds it, the passion, you know, I think it's really advantageous for players to maximize the name, image, and likeness.
How encouraging is it to you to see players that are here be involved so much in what you're trying to do? You go to them for input, you know, maybe they come to you and say, you know, one thing's different. One for instance, you know, you talked about music at practice or different things that the leadership group wants. How big is it to you to know that these players can come to you and talk to you? Hey, coach, we want to try this out. Maybe this works compared to something different.
Yeah, I haven't not had music on a practice field since 2008. I don't know if I could go back anymore the other direction. I think this, man, there's non-negotiables that as a head coach and as a coaching staff that you're going to believe in that are just non-negotiables and who you are and how you're going to conduct yourselves and things that matter. At the same time, I think when you have a good group of kids that are bought into who and what you're doing with some of the non-negotiables, right, in the process that you're trying to go through, giving them some ownership in it is extremely important too. And giving them the opportunity and the avenue where they feel like they have a direct line of communication to you, it's essential in today's world, man. And we got a great group of guys that are on our leadership council that have helped me early on get my feet on the ground here and understanding, you know, who and what we are, what are some of the issues, what are some things that are really important to them as they feel like they need to make strides here. And at the same time, being a part of that process together has been a lot of fun.
I'd be hesitant if I didn't ask the players that weren't involved in the spring. Is there a timeline for that? Are you guys still working through the university and student conduct board?
Every one of those situations is different. Obviously, some of that's been public. At the same time, the process, I believe, has an opportunity to be private. You know, there's a standard of what it means to be a student here at UT, first of all, but also to represent this athletic department, man, and wear that Power T on the side of your helmet. You know, guys are not going to be perfect, right? They're 18 to 22. You want to help them grow through some of those experiences. You want to inform and educate them on how they can be better decision makers before some of those things happen as well. At the same time, you're trying to help them grow as young men. And as a general process, there's some things that they got to do to earn their way back in and on our program.
Two more questions, and I appreciate you joining. When you look at the wait and see approach from fans, that, you know, it's been an interesting decade for Tennessee fans, and they say, okay, we're going to wait and see approach to how this goes. How does that fuel you to make the football program better, but also to be able to engage with fans and let them know we're trying to get this thing on the right trajectory for this season and the seasons beyond?
You know, I think my experience again at Oklahoma, a place I hadn't been to a bowl game for five years. You know, the outside, you know, energy and dialogue at that time was completely different than it was, you know, a year later inside of the program, 2 years later after we won national championship. And you know, this is a historic program, great tradition, and you know, the highest of expectations. The expectations outside of this building are not going to be higher than the expectations inside of it. I think first and foremost, this is going to be a group that's going to be accountable, that's going to be connected, that's going to be built the right way. I think that's something that the Tennessee fan base and Tennesseans in general are going to take great pride in. We're going to put a good product out there. We're going to continue to build this thing the right way and be a really successful football program. And I think this, the energy that is not just inside of our building, but that is created outside of our building, has a huge impact on our ability and how fast we make this climb. And encourage and want everyone to jump on board, create that energy, and just go do it.
So I have a fun question for you. I know this rest of it hasn't been. So either playing or coaching, and I know you don't like to talk about previous schools and whatnot, I get it, but playing or coaching, the most exciting game that you've been a part of so far in your career as a player or coach up to this point?
Jeez, man. That's,
I know it's a lot because you had some crazy ones at the previous stop and even at Oklahoma and Missouri.
Man, I mean, I think just pinpointing one game is really hard to do. There's so many great games and historic moments that you're a part of. I think it's just really unique. I think, you know, winning a conference championship at UCF, you know, with a backup quarterback and being down 17, you know, football team just continued to believe in each other and found a way to continue to battle back. And the energy inside of the stadium that night was electric. You know, if you go back to a player, there's some special road games that you come out and find a way to win during the course of a championship season that are really special too.
I was wondering if you were going to talk about that comeback that you guys had. So that was a wild one. And I think Tennessee fans remember watching that one as well. Mm-hmm. Coach Heupel, appreciate you joining us today in the RTI Digital Series. We wish you the best of luck. We look forward to doing it again.
All right. Look forward to it. Go Vols.
Thank you.